This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. The band is back together.
Hello.
After 18 days, four different country excursion, Jason Swigard back punching the ones and twos, hanging out. A loaded second hour of the radio program today. We will get into some college football.
You bet your ass we will.
Your Ducks are cleaning up and recruiting.
They're doing pretty good. Remember all those panics from March and April when they were the 15th ranked recruiting class in the country and the Huskies were higher than them?
The Ducks.
That didn't last very long.
Did I see their number two now with the latest five-star
wide
receiver?
Yeah, depending on where you look. Everybody's got a different, you know, 24/7 and Rivals and ESPN all have different ratings, but they're in the top five.
And then Oregon State's been recruiting really well.
Yep.
And also, there's going to be no Pac-12 Media Day. And Dirt told me that the commissioner said it's none of your business how much the Pac-12 media rights deal is. And I was like, what?
They're not going to reveal how much money they're making, which makes everybody think, what?
Why?
Yeah. That's not a good sign.
That's a low number.
What if it was like seven? He's so depressing.
Now I get why you're not doing media days.
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan.
Ooh.
Take your hands and put it down your pants, huh?
With Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA, go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only fan. So good, only the fan in Binary Brewing can pull it off.
We have our own beer.
What would tasting the fan taste like to you, Swag?
A little salty.
Is that a hair?
Is that a hair in there?
I promise there is no hair in this beer. It's a delightful beer. I had two of them at the Fan Golf Classic. They were fantastic.
That's where they debuted.
The Dubois was at the Fan Golf Classic. I walked into a cooler and found a couple. I was like, I don't know if I can have these, but I'm snagging these because I want a fan beer. And I work at the Fan, so I should get a fan beer.
Is that a rot beard hair? No, you actually meant
ooh,
taste
that one's
the fan.
That one's a gray one.
A lot to get to in the second hour. I want to get to some Blazer notes. Again, do you think in 4 years we will be at a spot where our team is actually competing?
No.
So it's going to be the same thing. We're just going to...
I think we're going to compete from the... I mean, like, some people would call this competing. Getting your ass whooped like that, I would say, is not competing. But we might go far again because...
But who did you beat? You beat nobody
exactly.
In your group stage.
Guess what they're
going to
do with
Bosnia.
The next World Cup, by the way.
What?
Add more countries that we can beat.
They are.
This is like having the team who can never win in the tournament all of a sudden finding themselves in the Sweet 16 regularly just because they keep expanding the tournament. And now we're getting easier games early
on. I actually think because Zivin was like, dude, I was pretty anti-expansion and I got to admit they got me. I was wrong on the team. He was like, I'm wrong. Expansion was good for the World Cup. I know expansion can go a bit far. Some would say it's going that way in college football, and we know it's gone that way in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a really good article on The Athletic of like, are we really upset with expansion in sports? Why are we upset if more fan bases care that their teams, even if their teams don't have a chance, Why are we so weird about expansion?
Because it's also, I think, underneath the belly of it is it's all about the money, and that's the part that turns us off a little bit. Like, if you're expanding, you're not expanding because you want more country. Like, we want Cape Verde to have access to the World Cup. You're expanding because you want more TV inventory so you can make more billions of dollars
but both
and
are
make
true.
More corrupt decisions.
But both, well, yeah.
And sure, yes. For every Cape Verde you can give me, there's 10 examples the other way of teams who had no business being in the World Cup, who did nothing of note, who you can't even remember were in the tournament. So it's like getting one 15 seed that wins two games. You're like, this is great. I'm glad that they're in. And then the other three lose by 40 points in their first round game. And so, it's not the end all be all for me. I'm not going to scream and yell about it. I understand that opinion. I just, if it's good, I'm not going to let it inflate my opinion of American soccer by beating teams who in previous iterations of the World Cup would not have been in the World Cup.
Okay. Kick off the second hour, had some breaking news in the first hour we didn't get to. The Cavs and Donovan Mitchell agreed to a 4-year, $273 million extension.
Cha-ching.
Player option, by the way, for the 2030-31 season.
Where's he going to finish this contract out?
Well, it's also
not in Cleveland.
There's a full trade kicker. Yeah, that's...
What team will have that player option of Donovan Mitchell when he's 35 years old?
Somebody's going to be like, dude, Donovan Mitchell with this team, though.
He's definitely opting into that last year of the deal, by the way.
Oh,
he's not
turning
that player option
good
now.
God, dude, that's crazy.
That's a big-time payday for the Spider.
Blazers in the news a little bit. And no, we did not add a power forward, Rui Hachimura. As I mentioned yesterday during the show, signed with the Clippers. The report came out from Sam Amick. The Blazers were one of five teams that were in on Rui Hachimura.
We tried!
He did not want to leave Los Angeles.
From my limited
way to go, guys.
Exposure to sports
good
news.
Attempt.
We tried.
I feel like every major free agent or trade, we were like the fourth or fifth option.
We're right there. Swag.
We were there at the
we're
table,
right there.
But
don't you criticize
don't
anybody
you.
On that team. We tried.
You know what I think we
takes
should do?
Takes two to tango,
okay.
Swag.
I just want to make sure I'm getting news.
You're getting the right news, yeah.
Traveled 10,000 miles.
After about 5 years of this, I have now reached the conclusion we need a we've tried banner hung in the Moda Center before our team moves to Kalamazoo. Let's enjoy it for the last 4 years with a big we tried banner next to the 1977 championship banner.
Yeah. Well, the Clippers won the geography sweepstakes by being in Los Angeles.
I don't blame him. He wanted to stay in L.A. He didn't really care about anything other than staying in L.A. Like,
I totally get it, dude. Yeah. I'm a pretty big L.A. fan. So
is he from – he's from Japan, right, originally? But did he grow up in the States?
Well, he went to Gonzaga.
I know that. I didn't know when he came over to the States.
Born in Japan. Yeah. I don't know if he grew up where he grew up, but yeah, there was a funny quote from one of the Laker beat writers, Dan Wokey, and he goes, one of my favorite exchanges of my entire career came with Rui Hachimura. There was an individual that was speaking Japanese, and I turned to Rui and I said, dude, he's speaking really good Japanese. And Rui goes, how would you know? And the guy realized he wouldn't know because he doesn't know Japanese.
I don't know if he's saying anything right, but it sounds like good Japanese to me. How would you know? Yeah, do you speak Japanese? No, I don't.
He could be making sounds. You just assume it's Japanese?
Half the time, I think Teddy's speaking Japanese for all I know. I can't understand what he's saying.
Well, so we didn't get Rui Hachimura. We're still running five guards out.
Yeah, buddy.
Joe Freeman had some really good – so he had a good write-up on Mike Anori.
I saw that.
Yesterday, and I'd highly advise to go check it out, OregonLive.com. But
I loved the anecdote from Drew Holiday telling Mike Anori, if in any of the last 3 years I was on your Minnesota teams, we would have won the championship. He's not really kind of –
I don't think he's wrong.
They kind of needed a guy like that. Also, who was the piece Milwaukee added and won a title? And then Boston added and then won a title?
I mean, he's not wrong. He's obviously been a good piece.
He's been the final cherry on top of the title teams.
Well, he's going through a lot right now traveling. He's had to meet Ja. He went to L.A. and met with Drew. So he's going around. He's talking to all the new Blazers and the guys that are returning because it doesn't appear – based on everything I would say is, like, there is not another trade coming, dude.
It does not seem likely.
Feels like this is it. I did the segment yesterday. Be ready and mentally prepared for them to do the vet minimum signing and call it good.
Yep.
And you're going to somehow hear them at a press conference convince you that five guards is indeed going to win in the Western Conference.
We project as a 60-win team with five guards in the lineup.
But Jay Triano, former assistant with Terry Stotts, former head coach in Toronto, who also, by the way, hired an assistant named Mike Inori once upon a time.
Yes, he did.
Jay Triano has agreed to an $8.99 deal for old Tom Dundon and the Portland Trailblazers.
They wrote it up in the dollar store.
They did.
Is that where Tom Dundon does his negotiations? Yeah,
well, it's actually the $1.50 store now. That's true. I wish they changed their name.
They really do need to.
But yeah, Jay Triano is going to be one of the lead assistants for Mike Inori. Really good and respected basketball mind. Worked with Dame Lillard for years under Stotts. And so he has made the choice to come back and work under Mike Inori and be a part of the Portland staff.
I mean, it's just another unfounded fear that we can now put to bed. The idea of Mike Inori not having a guaranteed contract pass this year is going to keep us from hiring good assistants and filling out a staff. And all they've done is gone out and hired a guy who was a finalist for the head coaching job that everybody raves about as an assistant coach. And Jay Triano, if I would have told you a month ago that he was going to be on the staff, I think everybody in unison would have said, yeah. Seems like a pretty well-respected guy around the league. He's worked in a ton of places. Oh, by the way, has familiarity with Damian Lillard because he was on Portland staff for, what, 4 years, right? 12 to 16, I think he was in Portland as an assistant. He's been in a head coach before. So it was one of those unfounded fears of, will the players play hard for him and will you be able to hire assistant coaches, that I just kind of chuckled at when the initial Inori contract was announced, and you've now added two great pieces to your coaching staff. I will still maintain that doesn't matter to me. As excited as I am about the Jay Triano hire, and that's great to have somebody with some head coaching experience on your bench, as Mike Inori himself said at the press conference, I'm only 10% of this. The other 90% of it is the players, and that's the part that was always the biggest story going into the offseason.
Yeah.
Not the T-shirts, not the coaching hire, not Tiago Splitter. It was the 90% that matters. And to that point, it's been underwhelming, to say the least. And that's the frustrating part.
Well, I think that's the thing, is like, you can have an opinion, a varying opinion on the whole situation with the team, but like, there does need to be a little bit of media, oh, okay, looks like so far we've been kind of wrong.
Just a little
bit. Does there not need to be?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. If the team plays hard for Mike Inori, we're going to put that one to bed like 2 months in. Like, hey, they're trying every night. I thought they were going to quit on him because he's only got a one-year contract.
That was one of the dumber narratives, in my opinion.
Yes, it made no sense.
Do you know why this team will quit if they quit? Do you know why? Because it doesn't make sense from a roster standpoint.
Yeah, guys might
quit. Five guards. Somebody's going to get screwed out of minutes.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to have the ball that needs the ball. Shots are not going to be shot by certain guys. And guess what's going to happen? The leaks. You'll start to hear all the rumblings. And then my guess would be local media scribes all start blaming it at Tom Dundon instead of roster construction.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Tom Dundon, and there's a lot you can say. Mike Inori, A-plus coach, according to many around the league.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best hires you could have made in this, you know, this round. And then goes and adds a veteran like Jay Triano.
Yeah. Like, Pretty good staff.
I don't really have any complaints in that department. And
no,
I agree
critiques.
With Mike Inori's, I'm 10% of this, the players the other 90.
Yep.
If there's going to be any quitting, it's not Mike Inori's contract. It's the roster construction right now today doesn't make any damn sense. You're not competing in a Western Conference with five guards. You might win some games, and it looks fun. Good luck on defense. Good luck with minute distribution.
Yeah.
Good luck with shot and ball and usage rate. Like, all of that stuff matters to these guys. I have been saying this forever. High school, college, pro. Most of these dudes don't care about the stuff you and I care about. They don't follow it the way we do.
No.
They live in their own little bubbles. What do you think Shaden Sharpe's doing right now? If he's not putting up shots, he's probably playing 2K.
Yeah.
Yo, you want to get on sticks?
Like, he's not reading ESPN.com this morning.
Wait,
not
what?
Reading OregonLive.com. No offense to Joe Freeman, the very handsome Joe Freeman, who wrote a great piece on Mike Inori's time as coach the first however many days. Like, these guys don't operate in those worlds, man. They don't pocket check in the locker room and go, well, Mike Inori only got a one-year deal, so I'm not going to try hard. That's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
And what's crazy to me is the people that cover the sport that are around it aren't having the wherewithal to just say that. They're actually taking the side of how a player's going to play. You're around them. I've briefly been around them. They don't care.
No.
They just played for Tiago Splitter after the coach was arrested by the FBI. So, like, the narrative-based stuff is just so dumb sometimes. And it's a good hire. Jay Triano, good hire.
It's a good hire.
Go make a roster addition.
How about we add a wing? Can I add a wing?
It'd be nice.
Can I order some wings, please?
Oh, can we get some wings,
boneless,
please?
Bone in.
Table
I don't care.
One, please.
Can
I'll
we
eat any
add
kind of wings?
Somebody that can shoot threes.
Can I get
at
a
like
shooter?
37%.
Any shooters out there available?
Let me throw one at you. Gundy said it yesterday from the toilet.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm fine. Well, what else? Yeah, throw a name out.
Malcontent and Golden State. That's all
I don't
I'm
care.
Saying.
I don't care. Literally, throw a name out. Do they have size and can they shoot?
DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
Well, he's really
he's not really
size,
a shooter. Yeah, he's actually a mid-range
guy. Mid-range
guy. Guy.
It'd actually be probably the worst fit they could have because they need somebody that can clear the paint, not pack the paint.
Now, if we can't land Rui, can we land LeBron? Is that how that works now?
God. I'm losing my ass, man. I'm losing my ass. This is growingly.
It's a crazy.
It's crazy that this
up.
Is gonna happen, and people are gonna flip up from they were gonna make a big move, and then it'll be all Tom Dundon's fault, and you'll get a change in the narrative when the general manager who's been here the entire time with different owners is still the guy who says we tried and is unwilling to pull the trigger on anything of note and anything of size to take a swing. Eventually, you're gonna have to take a swing, and if you don't, it's a disaster. And I don't get it. I genuinely don't get it. As time has gone on, the Ja Morant trade happens, and you think to yourself, all right, like as we all said, in a vacuum, fine. That's a decent value. Take a swing on a guy. He's a buy low, sell high potential. Like, no issue with that whatsoever. The idea that that might end up being all you do in the offseason is wild.
And well, Ja Morant and Rob Will.
Of course. A guy who was already on your team who is now still on your team. You've added nothing else to your team. I'm talking about adding pieces
to
your
team. But the Lakers wanted him.
They did. Look, I'm excited about Rob Will being re-signed. Let's also acknowledge he's played 80 games in 3 years, so yeah. I hope he plays more than that again this upcoming season, but that's not a guaranteed thing. So, we all just assume, like, of course, look, there's not going to be a big trade, but you're going to go do something, right? Right?
I said yesterday, dude.
Right,
I
it's that Star Wars
it.
Meme.
I'm not kidding when I say this. If they make a trade, we will celebrate it on this program.
By all
and
means,
talk about it.
Yes, I'll pop some confetti in here.
I would also just tell you, as somebody who's been following this team, been watching this team my whole life, you need to mentally prepare for us to use the 20-30 bucks pick, not in a trade, to actually use it. I don't know
you're
why you're
wrong.
Laughing.
You're not wrong.
It would be the most Blazer organization decision ever.
The value
say,
of that pick. We can't
actually,
get rid of it.
Yeah. The league can't properly value this pick for us in a trade.
No, we're going to hold on to it.
And instead of going into the apron, we've decided that if we pay Denny the contract and then Donovan comes a little under, we actually are better served to use the 2028 Milwaukee Buck pick because we think it'll be top eight.
Yeah, you know Trey Murphy still hasn't been traded?
He has not.
Still out there.
I know.
He's still available.
He doesn't make sense for them.
New Orleans is still starting over and trying to tank.
What about Sadiq Bey?
You know me, a guy with some size and shooting definitely does not make sense for the Blazers.
Can I get some Sadiq Bey?
I'll take a Sadiq Bey. What was his three-point percentage last year?
I think he was 37%.
I'll take your word for it.
I think Sadiq Bey's.
Who did he play for? I definitely know who he played for. Of course
he's on the Pelicans.
Duh, he played for the Pelicans.
What did his numbers say?
We all watched the Pelicans last year, you moron.
I should have assumed that.
36% from three.
Yeah, 36.
He averaged 17.5 points per game. What are we doing?
You know what we need?
This guy's available.
We need 13 points.
He's
6'8".
He's over 6'6". Nah, we can't get him. No.
Hang the We Tried banner, though.
We tried.
New Orleans didn't want to do business.
Guys, we tried, okay? We decided two first-round picks for a quality player is too expensive.
I think that's the funniest narrative is when people tell me, like, if they tried for Sadiq Bey, well, they tried.
Oh, they tried.
New Orleans wasn't willing. Were you on the phone call?
You know, it's...
You weren't? Okay, then get back to me when you know what New Orleans was willing to not do.
They tried.
We tried.
We tried.
Yeah. Hang the We Tried banner.
We tried, baby. Put that thing up in the Moda Center rafters right next to our 77 championship because it's the only thing close to a championship that we're sniffing.
How many years did we go into an offseason? You can say every year, but, like, realistically, how many years have we gone into an offseason thinking... It's the off season of the move.
Mm.
And now I said to Brandon yesterday, or Breezy, as he told me he's known on the streets.
Oh, he's going by Breezy now?
Fun fact.
Oh.
He taught hip-hop in college.
Wait, what? He was a hip-hop professor?
Yeah.
This guy's like an onion, man.
Dude.
It's a new layer that I did not see coming.
I told him their move was Ja Morant.
Yeah.
So you can already say, well, they made the move, Spray.
They made their move.
But how many summers have we gone in thinking it's the summer they'll make the move? Because if we hang the We Tried banner, it should be every one of those years.
Dude, that's a great
2016.
Call.
Yeah. CJ is going to get traded. This is the time to make the move.
It's like in colleges, the NCAA Sweet 16 appearance banner with all the years.
Yes. The year we got swept by the Pelicans in the first round, we were definitely going to make a
big
move.
What's the year we added Sean Kemp?
that year.
2002?
Yeah, we definitely tried that
year. We tried.
Aaron Aflalo?
Aaron Aflalo. That was definitely a hard try.
That was a we-try season.
We tried super hard with Aaron Aflalo, for sure.
We did try for Aaron Aflalo.
The losing of the Nuggets series where Dame was legendary and CJ stepped out of bounds, we were going to try that offseason,
for sure. That should just
be
saying he tried.
He tried. Then we just fired the coach, though, and said it wasn't a roster problem, it was a coach problem.
Well, it starts in 89 or 90 with the Buck Williams trade.
Well,
that actually,
see, I mean, that paid off.
Closest to it working we've ever seen.
The moves that didn't get made or the years we thought, okay, CJ McCollum is primed to get some good return.
Yes. Mello? Now's the time to trade him.
Mello. Double zero Mello. We tried.
Remember when we didn't try hard enough to tank for Victor Wembanyama?
Ooh, do we have a we didn't try with a year?
Remember that one? Remember that good time? Remember Anfernee Simons? Losing us, Victor Wembanyama.
That's the NIT banner.
Remember that?
Yeah, the NIT banner.
You can't handle a tank. I can handle a tank.
Dude.
If you get a good player in the draft.
If you had the NIT version of we didn't try hard enough banner, you'd start it in 84, would you not?
Yes. Yes, you would. Thank you for that.
Just saying.
We already had a two guard.
We don't need another one. We're actually full right now, but thank you.
We project as a 54-win team with Bowie.
You can walk down to the Chicago 38 restaurant.
38 with Michael.
They'll have a table for you.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Hey, welcome back to Portland, Jay Triano.
Hey, welcome back, Jay Triano.
Nice to have a familiar face.
It is. Jay Triano is a great hire. I got no issue with that.
Something looming and talked about yesterday and a little bit of newsy and notes out of the association. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, follow up on a poll question yesterday. If the Blazers just sign a wing to a vet minimum, will you be okay with their offseason? Yes, no, or F no were your options, and no, running away with it and winning 48.4% of the vote.
F no would have been my answer if I was here on the show yesterday.
F no got second.
Yeah.
Yes was a very, very, very distant third.
Dude, to go into an offseason hoping with all of the capital that you have to work with in terms of young players, contracts to match, and future draft picks, mm-hmm. and to have it end up being only Ja Morant, mm-hmm. is a disaster. There's no other way to spin it.
Yeah, certainly if I told you you're coming out of this with 5 guards, I think a lot of people would probably feel that way. It's not that Ja won't be good or
no,
pay
I have no issue, again, with the Ja pick. This is not an anti-Ja thing.
It's the roster construction.
You're also looking at potentially having 3 of your best players on the floor all needing to have the ball in their hands to score.
Yeah, and that's the other part
the whole fit thing doesn't make sense.
I push back on it. And look, I'll tell you if I'm wrong. Like, we'll get to a point. I'm not going to go 4 games in. Like, well, it was wrong. I want to see it play out. But
give it a month and a half, something like that.
This whole idea that people run with of just like, yeah, this is going to help Denny off ball. Dame's just going to play off ball. Their usage rates don't suggest that's their career. Their careers are defined by ball in hand. Like, I watched Dame in Milwaukee. I know a lot of Blazer fans did as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dame and Giannis with the ball. It wasn't Dame playing off ball all game, man.
No, like, it was not.
Dame Lillard being off ball for most of the game is not a realistic thing in my brain.
Yeah.
Ja Morant has to have the ball the way he operates.
He can't shoot.
And why was Denny Avdia so efficient and good last year? Because he had the ball and controlled things. So I'm going to push back and wonder aloud, are we sure these guys can be off ball? Because I'm not completely sold
on it. It's one thing to have five guards if one of them's Klay Thompson. It's another thing when everybody has to have. Now, Drew can play a little off ball. That's fine. He's a good defender. The argument maybe for Denny is it helps him on. He becomes a better defender because his usage rate will go down on the offensive end. But it just I don't know how comfortable any of them are going to be. My optimism would be the highest in Lillard just because of his ability to shoot the ball. But to your larger point, that's never been his career. And so you're asking three guys to do something potentially that they've never really been asked to do in their careers. And will they be able to adjust? That is a massive gamble going into the season.
We'll get to some football stuff. I know some of you guys are done with the soccer, and that's okay. I still think the soccer is worth following and watching because you got the best players in the entire sport still around and dominating. But we'll get into some football stuff. We'll talk with Andrew Nimmick at 8, Oregon's recruiting, Oregon State's recruiting. And the Pac-12 announced they're not going to have a media day. Boy, that's certainly a choice. We'll get into that today. And then also, going through some of the blurbs here, Seth Wickersham wrote a lengthy little piece on ESPN.com.
We got a wicker bomb on the Broncos.
He followed Sean Payton during the playoffs. And boy, there is some stuff trickling out of this article that we need to talk about. He volunteered giving up being the head coach to the owner to allow Belichick to come be the coach just to break the NFL record. He wanted to do a fake punt in overtime against the Bills, and the players told him to piss off.
On 4th and 11. No, what are you, crazy?
So we'll get to some of that. We got football stuff on the show sheet. You know, one aspect of the Blazers that we have to take into consideration, because if you said going into the offseason, Jaylen Brown's going to be available, you can get him. Like, seriously, you can be at the forefront of getting Jaylen Brown.
All it's going to take is two picks and Paul George.
Well, we would have had to pay more picks. There would have been a higher premium for us. But Tamani in, like, three picks seems like it could have done it, right? Everybody is saying, dude, let's go. You can think whatever you think about Jaylen Brown. He'd be the best player on our team.
Yes.
Okay? Now, some people still think that'd be Denny. That's okay. I'm not going to argue with you. But one consideration here, not to give ownership in the organization an out, Boston basically gave up on Jaylen Brown mainly out of financial reasons. This is Brad Stevens yesterday when he was asked why he's trading Jaylen Brown.
But it is an interesting time. The new CBA coincided, you know, what, 7 years after the Supermaxes were instituted. We may not be sitting here if there was a rule in the CBA that said the guys that you drafted that you signed to 35% Supermaxes count as 25% of the cap, because then that would allow you to build out towards the aprons with a lot less flexibility, or with a lot more flexibility. But the reality is that, you know, it's, those are hard to build. And you know, you even look back on, and again, I don't want to just throw a bunch of numbers, but like 47% of the cap is what those two guys were when we won it all, right? And that's just going up and up, and that's tough.
So you would say this was primarily a move to restructure the books?
No, I would say that it's a move to keep us at a very competitive level and give us optionality moving forward.
I will say this. Brad Stevens, I still think, is really smart. That trade was not great. He is absolutely covering for the ownership group on that last answer. This was all about money. Jaylen Brown didn't ask for a trade. He said him and Brad Stevens still have a fine relationship. They just traded him, and he found out, like everybody else did, on social media. When your 70% of the cap is two players,
it's tough.
It's not functional. And that's the thing about the Blazers you need to take consideration. They're going to pay Denny. Like, that's a done deal. Unless Denny Avdia asks to be traded out,
right?
They are going to pay him next summer, and he's not going to get...
Now, remember from Bobby, I think Bobby told us that he thinks he's going to play out the rest of his contract because of the financial details.
Well,
that
I believe
come
that is
it.
Next summer, is
No,
it
he's
not?
Got two more years left on his deal. And I think if we have, if I remember correctly when Bobby was on, there was something about waiting for that.
If he waits to a certain point.
That end of the contract, he can get X amount of more dollars and it made. But he's got two more, I think he's got two more years left on his deal.
But he's going to get paid.
Without a doubt, he's going to get paid.
I think organizationally, they've made that decision.
Yes, he's only going to be 28 when he's a free agent, by the way.
You're not paying Denny Avdia and Jaylen Brown. And anybody that thinks that Brad Stevens is full of crap because they took Paul George on, I would just argue this. There's only two more years of PG. So if Paul George doesn't work out, they're going to offload that last year as an expiring.
Yeah.
I don't think Boston's on the hook for that full 2 years. Even if Paul George is not great, there is always a Brooklyn in this league. You don't think Sacramento wants to push tickets by saying we have Paul George for a year? Like, there are dumb teams all over this league.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say it's an untradeable contract. But that's really at the forefront here is maybe some of the decision-making is involved around the league because you're seeing the contracts doled out. It's 1 year. It's 2 year. It's 2 year. It's team options.
A lot of frustration from players lower down on the totem pole saying we're not getting paid anymore.
Because the league is, I think, kind of telling us where they're at financially, and I talked about that yesterday. But I think that's part of the equation here is how much of this is we're going to pay Denny soon. Jalen's going to make 63.
Yeah.
Like you start doing the calculations, you're seeing some of the best teams do the calculations. Boston did it. New York just let Mitchell Robinson go because they don't want to pay into the second apron. Like, teams are not willing to pay this tax. They don't want to. It's a hard cap for them. So you're seeing a lot of teams make decisions they don't necessarily want to based on the way that the contract structures are with the salary cap.
The interesting part and the frustrating part, I would say, and again, their answer would be, well, it's Ja Morant. But one of the main arguments for the next 2 years for Portland, I thought going into the offseason from an optimistic standpoint about being aggressive was, what's Denny Avdia on? Cheap contract. What's Damian Lillard on? Cheap contract. You can make an argument next year, your two best players on the floor for the length of the season will be Denny Avdia and Damian Lillard. Now, we don't know that. They got to stay available. We got to see Denny do it again. Lillard's coming off the Achilles. But like, that's not an unrealistic guess to have at this point. Those are your two best players.
Are your three highest paid players on a per-year basis Drew, Shaden, and two?
Well, now, on a per-year basis, it's Ja Morant at $42 million.
Then it's Drew
at $34 million. It's Shaden Sharp at $20 million.
Yeah.
Those are your three highest paid players. Yeah. So the argument would be, Damian Lillard, I think of this as for next year. Yeah, he's going to make 13.3, and Denny Avdia is making 13.1. And so those might be your two best players making a combined $26 million. Mm-hmm. That's $8 million cheaper than Drew Holiday, right? That's only $6 million more than Shaden Sharp. So one of the arguments I thought going into the offseason was, look how good our books look. Let's go be aggressive because we know that Denny Avdia contract is ending in 2 years. I think your point is valid because when you look at Jaylen Brown's contract, the last year of the deal is 28-29. Mm-hmm. He's going to make $65 million. That's the first year that Denny Avdia's extension will kick in, whether he signs it next offseason or that will be the first year of the new deal. And he's going to be making $50-plus million and you have over $100 million invested in two players. And so I certainly think that was a part of their strategy and thought process. They were willing, clearly, to go add a big contract. When's Ja Morant's contract up? 2 years, when Denny Avdia is going to get paid. And so if it doesn't work out, you can move on. If it does, then you can make that decision down the road. It is unquestionably an unintended consequence for the NBA that it has brought parity that I think is enjoyable to the league. It's balanced things out at the top. We've had eight different champions in a row. But there's also the squeezing of...
You're punishing teams for having... Like
for doing
Boston
it right.
Having to trade Jaylen Brown when they had Tatum and Brown drafted.
And they don't have to. Their owner could pay the second apron tax.
70% of your cap is crazy.
Outside of Golden State, has any owner, like...
Cleveland.
Okay, Cleveland's going to do it?
They were the lone team last year.
Okay, so the only one that did it last year, like... It's not like there's five or six teams every year that are like, what the hell? Throw the money out the window.
No,
I'm not
going to
criticize Dunning for that. They're punting on the decision, no matter how much money you have in hand.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. 70% to two players is just... When you win a title and they're at 47% and just 2 years later it's up to 70.
I don't know what the correction is here or if there will be a correction.
The NBA would have to tweak the CBA. And
Steven's point yesterday was like, can we get he wants to do the quarterback contract thing where, it doesn't count. But that it doesn't count. It was like only 80% of it counts.
Brad Stevens just said, make it 25%, not 35%.
Right. And then that will make it a little more mathematical.
I mean, you could do that, but like, the NBA has to want that, and right now the NBA is loving the parity.
They are.
So there's a balance here between, is it right to have teams be punished by this? Because the reality is not everybody's deep-pocketed enough to want to pay that tax versus saying, hey, if they're committing, great. It's still going to be a chunk of your cap, but we'll take 10% off.
Watch what happens to OKC's roster in a year. Watch what happens to San Antonio's roster in 2 years,
dude. Yeah, they have until next summer to make the tweaks before their books are starting.
San Antonio's got Wemby, Castle, and Harper.
Well, they also
I know which
Fox
two they're
on
gonna,
a $200 million deal
yes,
right now.
They're going to have to figure out. So it's just, good luck. That's a tough – I'd rather have that problem than the Blazers problem, but it's a tough one to have.
By the way, listener David coming in clutch, he made the AI graphic. Next to the Trailblazer championship banner is the We Tried 2026.
We did it, guys. We did it. Hell of an offseason.
God, I hope they make a trade. Just go get Trey Murphy.
Anything.
Please.
Something.
Sadiq Bey.
Anybody.
something and
check
it into my
shooting,
lock.
Anything. Please. One of the guards gone. Please.
If it's DeMar DeRozan.
Mitty King.
Mike Anori. Is he being set up to fail?
God bless you,
dude's
bro.
Out here. He's like trying to grind. He's like, this is how we're going to succeed. I'm
he's
like,
my three-point shooter. He's my shooter.
Good luck, man.
Stands 15 feet away from the hoop.
May the force be with you. 740, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I will say it is hilarious and sad to see the amount of people that are photoshopping famous, well-known American athletes. So this is from one of these tweets. It says, Matt Freeze, when his country needs him the most, the goalie for USA. And it's Aaron Judge in a goalie uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one right there, Bob. That's a tough one. Not going to live that one down. I had to go through it with landing pictures last night. I saw them. Don't worry. I saw them on social media. They were out there.
Lanning, Harden, Aaron Judge. Yeah. Who are we missing here? There's got to be other people.
All-time playoff chokers.
Just all-time.
Tony Romo was this. Every year he'd get to the playoffs and they'd crap his pants.
Where's Russell Wilson?
Well, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. You can't do that to Russ.
Wait, what's his choke? The Super Bowl throw? The interception?
Won
a Super Bowl. Yeah, I think if you get one, if you win a World Cup, nobody cares. You blow a lead to Belgium at that
point. It's a dunce moment for sure.
If Dan Lanning has a national championship and then loses 48-0 to Indiana, I don't care.
Still got a ring.
I got a ring. I mean, I care. But I care far less if I already had a ring.
Bud.
If I had a ring, last year would not have
2028,
hurt.
If they have a natty and then they get absolutely housed by Mario in Miami, you care a lot.
I mean, in that instance, sure. But I would say at least I got one of these things.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's a lot different than not having one of them things.
Oh, God.
Chris Webber?
Chris Webber's a good one. Yeah, the timeout.
Do you buy the – I don't buy this at all, personally. You buy the whole, like, the Trump-FIFA red card overturn. Like, people are like, it motivated Belgium. I'm like, or advancing in the World Cup did and they were better than us. Do you think that's a real thing?
I would give it a percentage. I just don't know what percentage to give it. Is it 1%, 2%?
Okay, so
like I have a hard time thinking everything and all the noise over the last 48 hours didn't impact each locker room in some way, shape, or form. Now, it's not the reason you lost the game for the reason you just pointed out. Belgium's better. But yeah, dude, you went from being this like Cinderella, fun little, look how this is so enjoyable and happy in Team USA to becoming the villain of the entire tournament in the entire world through the process of the last 24 hours.
But okay, so bear with me here. So play the game, because I don't buy it. I really don't. I just think Belgium is that much better than us, and I think we just discovered, oh, we didn't beat anybody of substance on this journey. It was a fun journey. It was a very uniting journey. But we didn't actually beat anybody that was like, oh my God, can you believe they beat them?
I would equate it more to in the Dream Team when Jordan and Pippen, when they played Tony Kukoc.
Mm-hmm. And like, they basically bullied him?
I mean, the U.S. was going to win the game. That was never in question.
They made it a point.
They're just like, we're not letting this dude out of jail.
That's totally fine. But
and
like,
I think you saw that with how they went at Pulisic. And
but why would we come? So here's the counter, though.
I just think that's a player thing.
We were playing in our own country. We had a home game yesterday.
Yeah,
that was a home crowd. That was USA. Why would we come out and be affected by it?
We just I don't know. I'm making the point that I believe in locker room chemistry, and I think something like that does something to the locker room chemistry. Now, what? I don't know. What percentage? I don't know.
On the USA side?
On the Belgium side. I don't see, and I'm the opposite. I don't think
it'd be actually more Belgium coming out pissed, but I don't know why this would affect Why would this impact USA?
I think whenever you tinker with stuff like that and you change narratives and now you have to answer questions about stuff and you know the team is seeing it and talking about it, I just think it impacts it in some way, shape, or form. I'm not saying it's 80% of the reason they lost. Mm. It might be as low as 1%. That was a all of the headlines and energy around the team seemed to shift in the last 24 hours. It went from this home soil, round of 16, what a fun, energizing team to... this is the ugly side of FIFA that nobody can stand, and thank you for reminding us of that.
Yeah.
It's all corrupt and all about the money. But let's get back to watching football.
It's football season now.
I mean, it was like the entire lead up to the tournament was all that, and then we got distracted by the football because it's been great, and it will still continue to be great. That genuinely sucked, man. Everything about it sucked.
Tough for the Parisi, the Steezy, the Nick game, World Cup. Yeah. He's on a real generational run right now of
picking losers,
diving in at the wrong time.
Yeah. You want to take credit for that one? I don't know if that's the one you want to take credit for. Because that's the worst game they played in the entire tournament.
I don't think he will be talking about that one at all.
They laid quite an egg last night.
Any champions going to the White House anytime soon? You don't.
It would have actually been. I mean, it's awful. It would have been a little funny if he was like, "You're not invited anyway."
Yeah. Take the invite back. We didn't even want you
here. We're pulling the invite.
One of the best tweets of the night last night was Team USA still has a chance if Mike Pence has the courage. It was one of the best tweets of the night.
Someone said he's going to call Infantino of FIFA and say, "Find me 4 more goals."
By the way, we woke up today to find out America has won 5-4.
You can be mad about political commentary. If they're going to dive into my world of sports, yeah. I'm going to give my thoughts and jokes off.
If you're coming into my world, I'm going into your world,
welcome
all right?
Welcome to my world, Grandpa.
This is the way it works.
We'll get into some football stuff coming up at 8. Nemec's going to join us. The Pac-12's not going to do a media day. I'm just puzzled by that decision. Their commissioner, I guess, is not wanting to discuss how much media right revenue they're making, which tells me everything I need to know without you saying it. So we'll get into some football stuff. Sean Payton basically wanted to quit coaching for 1 year or quit head coaching for a year to let somebody else be the head coach for a record. Why would you tell a reporter that? This is odd.
I don't know.
Wickersham, I trust.
Yes.
He's one of the best still doing it.
They let him inside for 15 days.
Why would you say this to somebody?
I don't.
I'm going to say what I've been saying for years. Weird dude.
Sean Payton is a very weird dude.
Weird dude.
Why would you want to do this?
If I'm a Bronco fan, this actually makes me feel a little weird.
If I'm the owner of the Broncos, I'm offended by this. I hired you to be my head coach.
You're not wrong for that.
You're my head coach.
I don't get it either.
Wait, now you want me to pay another guy for 15 wins?
And also, because you won't get to it on your part, Darren Peterson getting Kobe Bryant looks in Summer League.
Oh, is he? Summer League already started?
A lot of Kobe comps.
There's the Utah and the California smaller ones.
Huh?
Vegas starts on Thursday.
Wait, what do you mean there's a Utah and a California one?
Teams playing in Summer Golden League. State and Utah.
Yeah.
Not everybody plays.
It's a smaller team. California Showcase, and I don't know what they call the Utah one.
But like Cam Boozer's played too. Cam Boozer's having a nice little Summer League.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. Why doesn't everybody play in Vegas in one Summer League?
Well, they do.
I think Vegas, they're required to play in by the league.
So it's some teams just choose to play
more. But then there's some extra ones.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we playing in the California
Classic?
No,
we're playing Vegas.
Did we not get invited to the
California? Why would we be invited? Who are we featuring? Yong Hansen?
Is it on television?
It is.
Ours will be.
Oh, ESPN. Okay. ESPN stuff last night.
Okay. I'm getting attacked, right? I'm just asking questions.
You're asking dumb questions.
None of these make sense.
Dumb questions by you.
I can't wait to watch Yong Hansen in Summer League. I'm really excited.
If Rob Will misses like 63 games this year.
We signed another center just in case. Yeah.
Don't worry though. Did.
Yong Hansen's not going to play this year.
White Carlson.
We signed a White Carlson.
We did. Sports coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Mail Sack Tuesday. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour, brought to you by Sparta TRT. So get those Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We start the third hour. We'll get into some football stuff, and we'll talk Oregon State with Andrew Nemec coming up next, hour 3 on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.